Hare Krishna.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shwasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So it's a great fortune today to have the association of His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj. So Maharaj is so kind that he has been coming and enlightening us upon the literatures which are left over by the Goswamis. Rupa Raghunatha Paide Hoibai Akuti. So Acharya say that actually when we understand the literatures left over by the Rup Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and we actually put our heart, our memory, our intelligence, our everything, mind on it, then only we will be able to get revelation of Sri Radha and Krishna. So His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj has been so kind and merciful that not only he is translating these literatures into English language, but also he is giving us personally entry into these literatures by specially explaining the Upadesha Amrita, which is the just nectar of instruction, as Prabhupada says, it 11 verses, and Maharaj is explaining it. Last time Maharaj came and explained on the third verse, which are the favorable items for the devotional service, and Maharaj linked it very much with the first verse also and the second verse. Enthusiasm, patience, determination, etc. Maharaj talked about. So goal fixity when happens, then automatically, naturally we are more enthusiastic, especially also by receiving association of great Vaishnavas, we become more enthusiastic, Maharaj was telling. And also internally a person should be motivated towards the goal, as Maharaj was explaining last time. Today Maharaj will start discussion on the text number 4 of Nectar of Instruction. Come, let's welcome His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj by 3 times loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
So the first verse we saw was a description of the various factors which lead to problems in bhakti. So these were called vegas, or great forces. Actually, they belong to the mind and the senses and the body. So naturally, in this material world, we have a body and a mind, etc. And it's difficult to control these urges. Everyone has to eat and breathe and drink and whatever like that. And consequently, people do this to various degrees in various ways according to their likes and dislikes. But in order to advance in spiritual life, we have to regulate all of the mind and the body and the senses, etc. We don't do that, very difficult to advance in devotional service. So these problems were outlined in the first verse, the lack of control, and the consequence of that in the second verse, whereas if we don't control your mind, then this will happen. If you don't control your anger, this will happen, whatever. So, and then the of course, the third verse was the positive thing, the opposite of what was in the second verse. So we have to, among them was avoiding the bad association, and then to cultivate things like enthusiasm and determination. So related to the avoiding the bad association, now we have the positive aspect of that, that is to have a good association. And this, of course, is also a factor in producing all the wonderful qualities that we saw mentioned in the third verse, such as enthusiasm and determination. So, this is the verse, Dadati prati gurnati guhyam akyati prichati bhunkte bojayate chayvashad vidam priti lakshanam. So just as we had 6 vegas and 6 unfavorable things and 6 favorable things, so we now got 6 qualities of priti or affection. So obviously we're not talking about affection for people in the material world, which is causes kama and krodha. So this is the opposite, the affection for devotees. So in the previous verse there was rejection of material association. So here we have the opposite, that is association with devotees. So how do we associate with the devotees? So this verse explains six ways in which you can do this. Six types of affection are giving and receiving gifts. That's the first one, dadati and pratigranati, giving and receiving something or other. It doesn't say exactly what. And then guhyam akyati prichati, that means, of course, guhyam means secret. Giving and receiving secrets. So obviously what type of secrets they're going to give. So it can't mean regular secrets of the material world. So it is actually guhyam means knowledge. Yeah. Where do we see this word mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, the king of all secrets. And of course in the Bhagavatam and Upanishads, this word is often used to refer to Atma Gyan or Bhagavat Gyan. So in other words, spiritual knowledge. So one explains spiritual knowledge and one asks about spiritual knowledge. So that's obviously an important element in devotees. And bhunte, bhojayate, to eat and to feed. Giving and receiving knowledge, giving and receiving food. So we have exchanges here. It's all giving and receiving. So how do we do this? So it's in relation to devotees. Now, the same activities will take place in relation to materialistic people. How do they establish relationships? They give things and they receive things. They talk and they hear. They feed each other and they eat. So very much similar. So for instance, if they're going to do a business deal, they'll invite the person for dinner or something and they feed him or they give him gifts or whatever like this, and then they talk. Yeah? So it's a common affair in the material world also to establish friendships. We go through these same processes. It operates spiritually also, but of course it's a little different. There's a little bit of a difference here. So, we saw that among the five major angas of bhakti, that association with devotees was a very prominent one. We have here in chanting, worshipping the deity, association, and living in Vrindavan. So that association is a primary factor in the development of bhakti. So, a very, very important anga. It is because of this, we could say this is the cause of hearing, chanting, and worshipping and living in the Dham. Because it is through association with the devotees that we get faith by Agata Sukriti. And once we get faith, then we approach a devotee, and that's Sangha, in order to get instructions to start the process of bhakti. So then all of the processes of bhakti we learn from the devotees. So therefore, this association is the cause of hearing, chanting, worshipping, and living in the Dham. So a very, very important element for us, how to associate with devotees. So we have to do it in the proper way. So of course, that association is based upon respect. We always have to respect the devotees. We know that the basic element of spiritual life is Trinadapi Sunichena Torapi Seshinomani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So we have to be very humble. We have to give respect to all living entities and not respect. But then in relation to devotees, it's more, as we say, it's more crucial, even with devotees, that this type of attitude is maintained. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu isn't speaking in terms of just relationship with ordinary living entities, but then in relation to devotees, the same is also true, if not more true. And then we have to establish that respect and then relate to devotees. But then again, there's a little bit of difference in how we relate with different devotees, even. So, a relationship is established by some sort of exchange. There must be some activity involved and maybe some words and whatever like that. So one is offering things and accepting things. So that was the first element, to give and to receive. So that could be many different things, but we could say gifts of some sort or whatever. So this is one way of establishing relationships. It works in the material world. People give gifts to each other. And in the same way, spiritually also works. So sometimes, of course, when we give something, somebody receives it, but then they also give to us, so we receive. So we are giving and receiving, or it should be that way at least. So people give you gifts on your birthday, but then you're expected to also give a gift back on their birthday. And if you don't give anything, then they get a little offended. So there has to be some reciprocation, giving and receiving. So you give and receive, the other person gives and receives, and then this establishes some sort of mutual affection for each other through this offering. Now, of course, gifts are material things, and in the material world, actually, it is a material exchange, and we're basing our friendship on something material, in one sense. You get a good gift, then you give more respect. And you give a cheap gift, then you don't get so much respect for that or appreciation. So it may be in the material world it doesn't work so good. But, of course, behind that is the intention. So the children often give gifts to the parents, and the gifts are not anything significant at all, but the parents appreciate it because the children are giving to the parents. So it's the sentiment that counts more than the actual value of the gift. But other people are more interested in the value of the gift. it becomes a materialistic exchange then. So in terms of spiritually giving and receiving, then we're not really interested again in the material aspect at all. And we're also not interested in actually getting respect or any of that as well. But there is some sort of exchange taking place here, that to express one's respect and affection, one gives something. Then in the same way, people respect you and they give other things as well, give something. It may not even be material things. So it's not the thing that is given so much as the sentiment involved in somehow trying to serve the other person. That is what is important. So in other words, people render service to us, and we render service to others. So in this way, we get some sort of affection and bond taking place by the mutual respect for each other and service to each other. Okay, so that's one thing. The other, more important, we could say, is the knowledge aspect. Giving and receiving knowledge. In spiritual life, the getting knowledge is very important. Of course, by knowledge here, we don't mean regular jnana, we mean bhakti jnana, devotional knowledge. So to receive devotional knowledge, this is part of the hearing process. So therefore, in respect to advancement, we have to get that knowledge. So then we approach a devotee, and the devotee gives us that knowledge. So we receive the knowledge, and somebody else is giving the knowledge. Once we have the knowledge, then we can also give it to somebody else. So we don't only receive knowledge, we also give knowledge. So the same person who receives knowledge also gives knowledge. So that is considered to be a proper devotee. The devotee gets the knowledge, but he doesn't keep it to himself. He's not stingy or miserly. He likes to give that knowledge to other persons as well. And upon this, we get the basis of the preaching spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is most magnanimous or vadanya. Because he wants to give the highest knowledge in the form of the holy name to all people. So he's the one that reveals the knowledge, and then people receive that, then people give that to somebody else. And so they also act as the emissaries of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in giving out the same knowledge to other persons. So in this way, they also reflect the great generosity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving out that knowledge. So therefore, we receive knowledge and we also give knowledge. Very, very important aspect. Huh? So obviously, the reception of knowledge is very necessary for advancement. It is through when we get faith, then by devotee association, we receive knowledge. By that reception of knowledge, then we can practice bhakti properly. If we don't have the proper knowledge, then we don't practice pure bhakti. We'll have some abhas of bhakti or some mixture in the bhakti. But if we want the goal, prema, then we have to practice pure bhakti. So therefore, we need the knowledge. So that knowledge, as I said, was bhakti gyan. So we have scriptures. So we have the bhakti scriptures. So this is the knowledge. We get the knowledge from the bhakti scriptures, and we accept that, and we absorb that, and understand it, and then we give it out to other persons. So this type of exchange is very, very necessary also for our advancement. Receive the knowledge is for our advancement. To give the knowledge is for others' advancement, but it's also for our advancement. So by giving it out, we also advance in devotional service, because it's also a type of bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says you should give out the holy name to everybody. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you should take this knowledge and you should also explain it to others. So that's an instruction of the Supreme Lord. So, and of course we also know that chanting the holy name loudly is more effective than chanting it silently, because others hear it. When others hear it, then they get advantage. So therefore, you get more spiritual advantage that way also. So giving out that knowledge gives special advantage to a person. So very, very important element for advancement and devotional service. Third element is giving and receiving food. Now in the material world, very common. They also do the same thing. So the devotees also do the same thing, but instead of regular food, it is prasadam. So it is spiritualized. So we get a spiritual aspect of this, giving and receiving prasadam. So this may not appear to be a very important element in one sense, because we're not interested in this eating or supporting our material body or whatever. But we do have to maintain the body in order to advance spiritually. We have to maintain good health in order to practice bhakti properly. So we do need something. And we take prasadam. So this can be part of the exchange among devotees, to give and receive prasadam. So not only it supports your material body, but it's also a spiritual aspect of establishing devotional relationships. And of course, by taking prasadam, we also advance. So it's not just supporting the material body. Of course, as I said, these elements operate in the material world. And probably some, like the giving and receiving food, is probably more important in the material world than the other ones, maybe, to establish your friendships. But it all operates in spiritual life also in a modified way, and we get spiritual results from it. So, of course, we could have many other things you could probably exchange. You could think of some things we can exchange, but these are some of them. Six of them are mentioned here, six elements. Or we could say three elements of exchange, and that turns into six of them. So, the counter of this, of course, is that we don't want to establish the relationship with the materialists. So, that Sangha was a cause of problems in the material world. So, verse 3 said, avoid that asat association. In other words, we're avoiding these elements in relation to materialists. We don't associate with them and exchange knowledge and activities with them and give gifts with them and eat with them, etc. like that. This will help to establish a material relationship and get influenced by them. So I mentioned previously, necessarily, because we live in the material world, we cannot isolate ourselves completely, and we have to associate with materialists, in especially if one is a grihastha and working, etc., then to necessarily we have to involve ourselves with these people. Yes, we can do that, but we don't establish these relationships strongly. If we do, then we get influenced negatively. If we don't, then we don't get the influence. So these relationship, these activities establish a stronger relationship. And be a stronger relationship, then you get more influenced. So the example is given in the nectar devotion of the crystal or the spatika. So people are like spatikas. And the spatika, if it's near one object, it turns that color. So if we have the spatika near a black object, it looks black. If it's near a red object, it looks red. So people, when they get too close to others, then they pick up those qualities of the other person quite easily, just like the spatika is changeable in color. So, but so if it's a close relationship, then this will happen more likely. So that close relationship is established by these six exchanges, or three exchanges of giving and receiving. When that happens, then the relationship becomes more intimate, and then the likelihood of getting influenced becomes more and more. So therefore, the nectar devotion says the wise man will choose his association very carefully. So therefore, we do the opposite, and we associate with the devotees, and then we establish relationship with them using these same principles, and then we get good effect. So instead of the bad effect, we get the influence of the other devotee. So like the crystal with the red flower looks red, so when we go with the devotee, then we also get influenced by the devotee, and we develop good qualities by the association through the different types of activity. So that is basically the principle that is illustrated here in this verse, that we operate in this way, and then we get very positive results. And this will counter the other thing, the negative association that we have. So we avoid establishing these relationships with the materialists, but we cultivate the relationships based on these principles with the devotees, and then we get good influence spiritually. So therefore, with the many qualities were mentioned in the third verse, like enthusiasm, etc. So if we establish nice relationship with the devotees who have enthusiasm and determination, then we also find it easy to develop those qualities, etc. So in this way, Sangha is a very, very important element. Of course, this is related to the next verse. The next verse actually,
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for such a wonderful and deep explanations, as you always give. There is sometimes a notion among devotees, by usually most devotees cannot come very near to a great soul, so they keep a perception about the great souls from distance. By whatever limited activities they can see, through that they try to grasp and think, and many times label the great souls also. So sometimes they may feel that a particular great soul is only scholarly, and they may not be into relationships, and therefore if we are also inspired by them, then we don't have to make relationships. But as you always explain, that association is the cause of devotion service, and in fact, more thicker the association is, the more loving exchanges are taking place, then only those other positive qualities which are helpful for our devotion service will happen. So, like, how do we not keep such kind of perceptions, and how do we understand that even very great souls also relish these kind of relationships?
Well, that's why the next verse comes up, and that is that the Madhyamadhikari has three different types of relationships with devotees. With equals, with inferiors and superiors, and it's slightly different. So though we have this as a general principle, that's the general principle, then it's a slightly modified in relation to the different types of devotees. So this, of course, is for the equal. It operates quite nicely on the equal level. Then you establish that type of relationship. For inferiors, then the emphasis is going to be a little different, particularly with the Guhyam Akati Prichati. You're going to be the explainer, and the other person is going to be the receiver. So in other words, we give mercy to the people who are less advanced. The relationship is slightly different, in other words. There's a different balance there because there's an inferior person, and we're in a superior position. On the other hand, with a superior devotee, then it operates the opposite, and we're the one that does the asking, and then the other person does the explaining. The superior does the explaining. So they're giving knowledge, and we're receiving the knowledge. So the dynamic is a little different for the superior and the inferior as with the equal. So this is generally as applying to the equal relationship. When we get with the other relationships, then it operates slightly differently. So the main giver is the superior person of knowledge, and the receiver is the other person, the inferior. And then with the inferior person, the Madhyamadikari is giving the knowledge, and the other person is receiving it. So we get a little bit of a variation there on the exchange.
So that means we should not keep such kind of a perception that if one gets into scriptures more or philosophy more or scholarship of scriptures more, then the relationship aspect is neglected. We cannot keep such kind of perception. Is that true?
Yeah. Of course, if one is on a very exalted level of bhava and prema, then they're beyond the relationships completely. The Madhyamadikari has relationships, and all of his advancement is based on those relationships. The Prema or the Bhav Bhakti are beyond relationships, so for them, yes, they don't have to do anything. But most people aren't on that level, so therefore that we can exclude that.
There are several other questions which will also come into picture. You said that because somebody may have to work in the material world, grihasthas, or even the others before joining also, one has to work. So when we work in the office, we also need a relationship. And you said that need not be like a very intimate one, that we are influenced by them. So we can call those relationships as official relationships.
Yeah, formal relationships.
Formal, official.
Or lokic relationships or whatever like that. So here we're talking about spiritual.
Yes. So what my observation is that many times devotees tend to develop similar official relationships among devotees. And they tend to develop intimate relationships in the official circles. So it sometimes becomes opposite, that the devotee who may not be very properly situated may develop only official relationships among devotees and intimate relationships with office people or those who are non-devotees. So how we actually...
Well, then they'll get influenced negatively by that and become more materialistic. So that becomes problematic. Yeah? So we have to be careful of that. So the idea here is that this is established for the devotions, the devotees, with the devotees for devotional reasons. And the other relationship is for the materialists. We keep a distance. And this is not so much emphasized at all. So if this becomes more prominent with the materialists, then we're more likely to be influenced. And then it's more difficult to advance because of that.
So how can we avoid keeping only the official relationships with the devotees? How can we avoid that? Or why is it that a devotee will not develop relationships heartfelt? As you said, it's the intention. It's not just the exchanges, but actually the intention within, which actually will lead to those relationships actually. So why is it that a devotee may not be able to develop such good relationships among devotees?
Well, maybe because... the devotee has not understood the nature of devotee association and how important it is for spiritual advancement. So we find that it's emphasized in the scriptures that in order to advance, even to get faith, we have to have that mercy of devotees. And then to get bhakti, we need mercy. So at every stage, there is necessity of mercy and association to advance. So if they don't understand that, then they will keep away. If they're really eager to advance, then they will take that association. And so if they have a misunderstanding, then they may not do that. And therefore, more difficult to advance because of that.
Maharaj, in myself, I have an observation that sometimes as we are coming from materialistic circles, of course, everyone comes from materialistic circle within Krishna consciousness. So we carry our materialistic conceptions over when we come to devotional service. So in the material world, being individual achiever is actually very much glorified, especially in today's era. Competitiveness, everywhere there is competitiveness, and people cannot share their things with others. They have to compete, they have to envy others and somehow prove themselves better, etc. This is the in general today's scenario. So is it not that if this kind of conception is kept while we come to Krishna consciousness, bhakti, then it will be so detrimental to form any relationships?
Well, yes, I said previously that inherent in bhakti is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you're humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, you give respect to all others and don't respect. So if we don't follow that principle, we'll end up in that position of, you know, competing in the material world or competing in devotional service with others. So then that doesn't work. It's detrimental to one's advance, and it's very difficult to advance if that attitude is carried over. So that is why it's a cornerstone of bhakti itself. If we don't have that attitude, then it's going to be troublesome all through our process, because anarthas will keep popping up.
So, in order to... Also, one more thing which I have seen, that generally the mind in the conditioned state tends to overlook the good and only see at the fault. So if a person is like that they may see faults more and good less, will they be able to form relationships with devotees?
Well, it's very difficult. So that's one of the anarthas, to have a devious mentality, kutinati, so we see faults rather than good qualities, etc. So it's an anartha which will obstruct devotional service.
So, can we say that if we are able to develop good relationships with devotees, we have to actually set aside all this which is there in between, like competitiveness, fault-finding mentality, and actually rather being eager to advance in bhakti?
Yeah, well, even in the material world, you cannot establish good relationships if you have these ideas, because if you're competing with everybody else, you can't really have a relationship. So, yeah, it has to be completely given up.
Among devotees also, is it not, Maharaj, that this leads to aparad also? Among materialistic circle, we may not just develop relationship, that's fine. But if within devotee circle, we are unable to develop relationships, does it not lead to aparads also?
Well, of course, purposely avoiding devotees can lead to aparad, because then it's a type of disrespect. It becomes prominent if we start thinking about it mentally, and then we have negative attitudes towards devotees, then it becomes quite bad.
And also, taking devotees casually?
Because we say that even for all living entities, we have to give respect. So then for devotees, we give more respect.
How to develop this intention or sentiment, which is... So I was talking on one side now. Now I'll start from the other side. Sometimes we feel that relationship, just like in the material circle, is all about somehow taking care of the body, somehow taking care of the mind of the people. That's material relationships all. So a parent may take care of the body so much, or even to the extent they may pamper the child. So if similar expectations are put into the devotee association, that good relationships are good only when we are just trying to please the body or the mind of the person, senses of the mind of the person. Is that the correct understanding in devotional relationships?
Well, for the devotee, of course, we're more interested in the spiritual aspect. Now, we don't neglect the body, obviously, but that's secondary to the main aspect of cultivating their spiritual life, etc., like that. So the two things are both there. We can't neglect completely the body, but at the same time, the emphasis is upon their spiritual development. If we'd only concentrate on the material body, then that also becomes a material relationship again.
Which means we can even develop material relationships with devotees also.
Yeah, we think in terms of material bodies. Yeah.
Yes. So, Maharaj, sometimes in order to help a person to progress spiritually, we may not be able to just take care of the mind of the person. Like, they may have certain desires, they may have certain ways of doing things, whereas it's detrimental for devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So in case if we have to take care of devotees, like this kind of relationships, etc., so we may have to actually help them to overcome certain anarthas, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. they might be liking due to the conditioned state.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, how to see that the we are not becoming sentimental and keep sentimental means to see just, okay, is it pleasing to my mind and senses, and therefore someone who is pleasing my mind and senses, that devotee is very good. Somebody who is not pleasing my mind and senses, that devotee is bad. So how to avoid this kind of an outlook actually?
Well, of course, if we have scriptural knowledge, then in one sense we can to some degree judge the anarthas of another person. We can't do that completely, of course. So therefore, we can't completely guide with authority any devotee because we don't know his true mind or whatever like that. So it becomes a difficult situation. As I said, to some degree, through scriptural reference, and we can see that there are anarthas or whatever like that. How to get rid of them, then a particular method we may not know. So at that point, we also have to take faith in the process of bhakti itself. So if we encourage them to sincerely do bhakti, then we have faith also that those anarthas will get eradicated. So that rather than they're trying to use some material technique to get rid of their anarthas, we advise them to take shelter of bhakti instead and sincerely practice. And if they do that, then of course they can conquer over those anarthas.
From the perspective, I was asking that how to not keep this kind of outlook that somebody who is pleasing my mind and senses is a very good person, because usually that's how everybody is in this world. Someone who pleases the mind and senses, they become very good. They appear to be good to the mind, and somebody who is not pleasing, you know, the mind and senses, then they start appearing to be...
The more one advances, the more one can appreciate the spiritual qualities of a person. So, for instance, if a person's anruchi, then another person's anruchi can actually understand that he has spiritual taste, not material taste, that he's interested in kirtan, not because it's a nice tune or whatever, but because he actually has a taste for the holy name. So the more one advances, the more one is able to detect the sincerity of the person.
Which means that if we ourselves are looking for the substance of bhakti, then we will not be shadowed up with this sentimental ideas.
Yeah.
Anyone else has any other question? Yeah, please.
Maharaj, we see that people's horoscope, that also reveals a lot about whether they can make relationships with other horoscopes or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, in devotee circles, I've seen when there are issues, some devotees have gone and they've done trying to check their horoscope in these matchmaking websites and seen that if it's compatible or not, and if they have a bad relation, they say that, oh, it's incompatible, that is why it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So,
materially, yes.
And spiritually, you're not able to approach, take guidance.
Yeah. So anyway, the horoscope is interpreting our material karmas. So based on our material karmas, we develop certain qualities or anarthas from previous lifetimes, etc. And then that particular character, the person, mixture of good and bad qualities, may or may not be compatible with another person's good and bad qualities, etc. So based on that, we get the, you know, incompatibility or compatibility of horoscopes. That, of course, is material. But the devotees also still are not beyond material life, and they still have anarthas, so therefore, we can say even for devotees, the same principles will apply in terms of their material compatibility. If one is spiritually advanced, then the compatibility is not an issue. But that to reach that level of spiritual life, then you have to be in bhava and prema. In which case, you wouldn't get married at all.
Maharaj,
he
was asking from perspective, not of marriage.
Yeah, not of marriage. even a counselor in a counselee relationship.
Uh-huh. Well, the same thing is there. Whether it's marriage or not marriage, then certain qualities are favorable for, some people are more, let's say, friendly to others, others are less friendly, etc. So that's a matter of karma. But as we know, the bhakti actually destroys all the karma also. So if one advances in devotional service, one can overcome those particular defects or anarthas.
So then will it be that we should check the horoscope of the guru and our own horoscope? And
But then you're talking about material aspect again, yeah? Not spiritual.
Is it not that we approach the spiritual devotees, especially in the senior positions, we approach not for material reasons, we actually approach for, as you said, I think it's more for the knowledge, revealing of knowledge.
Guru Maharaj, usually in a relationship, there is a feeling of people that they are being controlled by the other. And they say dealing with a person, somebody dominates me and other things. Because of that, so many people avoid relationship, keep complaining or keep...
That's what mature relationships are based on. Usually one tries to dominate the other. So that's why it's not good. So if that continues in devotional life among equals, one tries to dominate the other, then again the relationship will fail again because a material aspect is coming up there. Here there's an exchange. So it's not dominated. Huh? But if we start dominating, then the relationship gets disturbed.
There's always a feeling what the others have. The person may not be okay. But just by seeing the physical...
Yeah, well, that's the result of their experience with the person, probably. So,
Maharaj, this question comes up, since the devotional service is so much about relationship, is it that then certain types of people will not be able to come to bhakti properly because they may not be having ability to make relationships due to their karma, as you were saying, some people are a little shy. Some people are not...
Well, at least they have to give respect to the devotees. That much.
Yeah. But is it that this kind of karmic reactions of being shy, being little close, are also because of certain anarthas? And as they practice bhakti, they should be washed over and the person's real nature of... Because soul wants to make relationships. That's the nature of the soul. Mm-hmm. So is it not that as one practices bhakti, this wrong tendencies in terms of karmic reactions also...
Yeah, they all get destroyed. Whatever negative things are there will get destroyed. Yeah, definitely.
And then one will be able to form wonderful spiritual relationships. So that happens on its own by the practice of bhakti. Yes, then Maharaj, also the putting of heart into the relationships... rather than just putting the senses in the body, like in giving of the gifts, we could take a best whatever something and we may give. But as you said, it's not just the gift which counts, the value whatever. Mm-hmm. But what counts is that our heart, the intention in that. So how we put that? How do we put that?
Well, that cannot be mechanically regulated or whatever. It's simply a matter of the sincerity of the devotees and the devotional aspect of the devotees. Huh? So it's because of devotion, and our devotion of course is based on a relationship with Krishna. So that's our primary relationship, and all the relationships with the devotees follows from that. If we don't have any relationship with Krishna, then establishing a relationship with the devotees also is rather artificial. So the two things go together. So if we do have some sincere bhakti in relationship with Krishna, then naturally that will overflow into our relationships with the devotees. We cannot separate the two things. So if we cultivate pure bhakti, which means no other desire except the desire to please Krishna, that will carry over into our relationship with devotees also, and it will also be anyabhilashita shunya, free of motivations or whatever.
That's what exactly I was bringing the whole discussion to. Which means, unless actually there is a desire to practice pure devotional service, this whole lecture of instruction will look like something very different to us. When this desire to practice Shuddha Bhakti, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, giving up all material desires, etc. come up, then only a person becomes serious about thinking Vaishnav relationship, Vaishnav Sangha, Trinadupi Sunyachena, and putting heart into those relationships. Yeah. Is it not a correct conclusion? Yeah.
Of course, even if it's not pure bhakti, to some degree we can establish a relation, but it won't be so perfect. It'll be have irregularities in it. So the more we practice emphasis of pure bhakti, then the better the relationships the devotees will be.
This is, I have always heard from my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that between two devotees, Krishna should be the center of relationship.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. The emphasis is upon a relationship with Krishna. And that, based on that, then we have a relationship with devotees.
He says that hearing and chanting leads to that type of... So can we say this Guhyam Akyati Prachyati also means it's not just that we... reveal knowledge, receive knowledge, but we can together receive knowledge from another great soul. That also brings us closer.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I would explain later on is then the next verse is that the, as I said, the when we have superior devotees, then the emphasis changes and that the superior devotee is the one explains and the other one is the one who receives the knowledge. So, and once he receives the knowledge, then he practices it, and whatever like that. So, then he in other words, he acts as a guide in spiritual life, helps him advance.
Let's take an example of Sudama and Krishna in the friendships which they had due to having the common service to Sandipani Muni. So there it's explained that because they were serving the Guru together, the common purpose of serving the Guru kept them, because of that, the relationships became very sweet. So I was asking that, is it not that when the two devotees are actually not just focusing on each other revealing and receiving knowledge, but also probably getting the knowledge from another, say, Guru, or practicing it together. So will it not also bind them together?
Oh, definitely, yeah. In other words, they're following the same process, worshipping the same Supreme Lord. So they have a common sadhana, a common goal, etc. So then that also is a cause of relationship.
And I was wondering, Maharaj, where does the glorification of devotees comes in this verse? Because we hear so much in Chaitanya Charitamrita about appreciating devotees, glorifying devotees.
Say giving and receiving, the first one. Dadati Pratigrinati.
In Dadati Pratigrinati, the words of appreciation also come into picture. Also, another thing comes that seva has not been discussed in this verse. So, it is said that if we serve a devotee, naturally we come closer to them. So, where does the seva aspect come?
Well, partly in the first one and partly in the third one. Feeding. Feeding the devotees and giving them things or whatever. So, in other words, it can come in either of those categories. Service.
So, not just we can feed the devotees, but also we may do so many different types of services.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of like giving, and another person receives.
So the acts of service and appreciation words, etc., all come in Dadati Pratigrinati.
Yeah,
or Hare Krishna. Anyone else has any other questions, please? Yes, there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, as you told that in bhava stage, a person becomes beyond these relationships. I just wanted to understand that little more because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see a lot of bhaktas and they are all either prema bhaktas or like that. They are having Vaishnava relationships.
Oh, yeah. Relationships are there, but nothing material. So in terms of things like incompatibilities and material qualities, etc., that doesn't arise anymore. So definitely there are spiritual relationships, but they're purely spiritual. So, just like Krishna has relationships with the cowherd boys or whatever like that, so the devotees of Lord Chaitanya have a relationship with other devotees of Lord Chaitanya also. But then they're completely beyond the material body in terms of spiritual bodies. And obviously there's affection there in those relationships, but it's purely spiritual. Nothing, not contaminated by material relationship at all. But they may completely be beyond the material world and anything in the material world. So that is why the Prem Bhakta may not preach at all in the material world. Because he sees everything in relation to Krishna. And it's, everybody's a devotee. Even the demon is a devotee at that point in his vision.
So we can say that they're beyond relationships in the sense that they may not worry about the materialistic people. But they have relationships with the other devotees.
Definitely. But they may not be in this body. They may be in their spiritual vision, the devotees, at that point, because they have a spiritual body also, and they'll be relating in spiritual bodies.
Yes. as Mahaprabhu was in Gambhira, most of the time. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many characters, so there is a unanimous consensus that Krishna has to be served, but like Narad Muni is a brahmachari and like Prithu Maharaj is a king, so does it happen that by our Varna and Ashram, the typical service that we have, the finer details of like Narad Muni says that what if one does his material duties very loyally, doesn't help, one has to do pure bhakti, but in context of Prithu Maharaj, who is the king, who has to take care of people, the quota of social welfare is little bit high, although there is no actual clash. So is it that by what departments we do, what actual service we do in Krishna, our finer understanding of Krishna consciousness changes, and is it natural or there should be a global consensus also that there is an absolute hierarchy, like one may be in temple hall decoration, one may be in duty department, one may be in preaching, so sometimes the finer understanding of it modifies, like very fine detail that what we think is based in Krishna consciousness.
Are you thinking in terms of varnas?
So does our varna and ashram also affect our understanding of KC,
usually the devotees act within the Varnashram principles to some degree, maybe not perfectly, like Krishna is beyond the Varnashram, so he may break the principles if he chooses to do so. Generally the devotees act within it, not so the kings act as kings and the sages act as sages, etc. Even if they are pure devotees or whatever. But of course, there are, many of them are very advanced and nitya siddhas anyway, so it's more like pastimes. So they're not doing that out of obligation because they're lesser and they have material gunas, but because they're simply teaching the practice of varnashram in the material world. That's all. So they're not like Yudhisthira is not acting as a kshatriya because he's in Rajagun. But he's doing that as a pastime in Krishna's, you know, lila, and acting as a kshatriya, that's all. But actually he's just a pure bhakta with no material gunas at all. So for them it doesn't really apply. For those who are in the material world, then, if they're in the Varnashram system, then they're obligated to some degree, particularly the grihasthas, to follow those rules of the Varna and Ashram. If they're renounced, then they're beyond that. But if they're grihasthas or whatever, then they follow to some degree those rules. But those rules, again, are somewhat modified according to devotion, etc., so that they're non-contradictory to bhakti.
Any other question?
Maharaj, you are telling that if you don't have a spiritual knowledge, we cannot practice pure bhakti.
Yeah.
So, does it mean that a devotee who doesn't have scriptural knowledge, like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he may not have the learn scriptural knowledge, scholarship, yeah, etc. So, such people are pure devotees, so how to understand?
Well, he had the knowledge, he was illiterate apparently, but he had the knowledge anyway, somehow or other he got it from hearing or whatever like that, so it wasn't he was ignorant, so he knew, you know, what pure bhakti is, he knew about prema, he knew pastimes of Krishna, etc. So he got the knowledge somehow or other, even if he couldn't read. So he had knowledge, definitely. Because if we don't know how to practice bhakti, then what is pure bhakti, what is impure bhakti, then how we can do it. So we do need some knowledge.
Basically what he is asking is that some devotees feel that there is no need for reading books, there is no need for hearing much, just serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Will they be able to practice bhakti, yeah, pure bhakti?
Well, they can practice bhakti, but it may not be pure bhakti. I mean, haphazard, maybe by chance it may be pure bhakti, but you know, this chances are it could not be pure bhakti also. So, better if we're more precise and we have more idea of how to do bhakti properly, then we can do it. Now, but fortunately, the knowledge that we have for bhakti is not too complicated and whatever. You can learn it very quickly, so it's not that you have to study for years and years to get that knowledge.
Any Matajis have any question? If you have, please raise your hand. Okay, no questions. Thank you very much. Let's thank as well as Bhanu Swami Maharaj by three times loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. As well as Bhanu Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So now devotees can come forward and honor, accept prasadam from Maharaj. Maharaj.